And today I'm going to start a new series for the Advent season, and it is a season of wonder, a season of wonder. And that's what we are in, you know, when it comes to the Christmas season, it is a season of wonder. Just look in a child's eyes, you know, and some of you that have, you know, still refuse to grow up, you know, it's the same thing, right? And isn't that something good to have that wonder about Christmas and about the Christmas season? I know that my parents, and especially my dad, he loves Christmas. He loves to do Christmas surprises. It's a season of wonder. And we are getting ready to go into this Advent season with this series. And this is what the Lord dropped in my heart. Before we get to that, I just want to mention to you what the Lord spoke to me a little while ago when it came to our church. And he basically said that this was going to be a new season, right? And where are we at here? I'm trying to find it so I can read it to you. And this is what he given to me a while back regarding us as a church, that it was a new season. And it was a season of change, and that we would open the door and love once more, and that the prodigals would return. And these are some things that I believe that the Lord just kind of dropped in my heart to encourage us, and to encourage us that during this time to reach out to those around us. That's the reason why Abigail's basically gave you that little card. To invite people to the children's outreach, the children's story time. Now, this is an opportunity for our whole church, not just those with children and not just children, to come and participate and be a part of this outreach. It is Saturday on December 11th. There are two opportunities. You do not have to stay for the entire time. You can give for maybe just one of the sessions. I know it's a busy time of year, but we really want to reach out to our world, the world that God's put us in. You know, we have the Christmas tree lighting that is coming up just a very few short days, an opportunity to fellowship. And I have to tell you that during that opportunity of the tree lighting, there is an opportunity to fellowship as well, because we're going to be going right down, walking probably, many of us will just walk across the parking lot right into Mimi's Coffee House. And Reverend Ennis has supplied graciously Christmas carols for us to just have fun with our ukuleles while we enjoy the Christmas season. And I know that there are going to be people who are going to be looking in the windows, and they're going to see what's going on. They're going to say, who are those people? And you'll have an opportunity to give an answer and to invite people to be a part of what God is doing here at Westchester Family Church. So let's pray as we approach the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this Word, God, that you are giving us today, the Word from the eternal Word of God. God, it is not something that I want to make up. It's not anything that I want to distort at all. But God, I just want to preach your Word this morning, that people would find hope, they would find life, and would find truly that this season of wonder would captivate our hearts in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. One writer put it this way: the most wonderful time of year celebrates the most wonderful moment in time. The most wonderful time of year celebrates the most wonderful moment in time. What is wonder? When we think of wonder, we think of a lot of different things. Perhaps when looking at that word and thinking about what is that? What does wonder look like? What is it all about? The word wonder itself in the English language, it has a specific definition. And we're just going to go ahead and look at that. Wonder. Wonder is a feeling of surprise. I can remember some amazing Christmases as a child because my parents would love to do that additional gift, that additional surprise. And, you know, when we think about that, isn't that like God, who's always taking things above what we could ask, dream, think, or imagine, as it says in Ephesians? God wants us to have that feeling of surprise, mingled with admiration. That's what the word means. Caused by something beautiful, expected, unexpected, unfamiliar, inexplicable. And those are some of the words: admiration, wonderment, fascination, surprise, astonishment, amazement. Some similar words: marvel, a miracle, a phenomenon, a wonderful thing, a sensation, a sight, a spectacle, a beauty, a curiosity, a rarity, non-parallel, a strange or remarkable thing or event, having remarkable properties, a surprising event or situation. I'd like you to turn with me to Malachi chapter 6. Because I want to set the stage for this season of wonder, this season of wonder that we are ready to embark upon. Malachi 4, not 6. Malachi 4, there is not 6 chapters in Malachi. All right, Malachi chapter 4, and we're going to pick up in verse 4. And it says this: "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb, for all Israel. With the statutes and judgments, behold, I will send you," he says, "behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, Malachi chapter 4, starting in verse 4, is what I just read. Those are the last utterances, if you will, supernatural, that God gives his people for 400 years. They call the time between Malachi chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 1, they call that the 400 silent years. 400 silent years where the revelation of God was not in the land. They were just going on what was passed down from generation to generation. And I would imagine that they were probably, some of them may have been losing hope, maybe even losing faith, maybe losing hope that God would ever come and rescue Israel. Was God even thinking about Israel anymore? And what we see in the Christmas story is we see this season of wonder beginning. This season of wonder that starts off with a story about a couple. Let's turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. The story about a couple and how that season of wonder, and the story of wonder starts. The story and the moment of wonder for all of us that we're still living today. If you've received Christ into your life, you have experienced the wonder and the joy of it all. And in Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick up in the story. We're going to go ahead and pick up in the first part of this chapter. And we see in verse 1. Go ahead. And for as much, this is Luke talking. And he says, "For as much as many have taken the hand to set order a narrative of things, those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." Now, that word Theophilus means lover of God. It could have been a real person. It could have been somebody that Luke was writing to encourage, or a group of people that he could have been encouraging. And when we get to heaven, we'll probably be able to check out that video and see what it was that and who it was that he was writing to. Verse 4 says, "And that you may know of certainty of the things in which you were instructed. Now there were, in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Two very interesting individuals. Zacharias and Elizabeth were a couple, but this is what I want us to kind of take away from this story and from this season of wonder. They were people just like you and I. They were people who were living their lives, but they were dedicated to the Lord. They were dedicated to Him. And so what I'd like to kind of throw out to you when it comes to Zacharias and Elizabeth is they were prepared for wonder because of the way they lived their life. They were prepared for God to step in to their mundane life, to step in and show His goodness and show His wonder. We're going to see that as we continue on in the story. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So get the picture. Zacharias and Elizabeth were well in their years. She was barren, which in that culture, and really quite honestly, even in today's world, when somebody does not have a child, it can be a heartache. It can be a something that they carry with them. And I look at this story of how Zacharias and Elizabeth were, they were living their life, but they stayed before God in all of His ordinances. What kind of lesson does that teach you and I? That we would live our lives no matter what we're going through, no matter what personal pain we might be going through, but living it to honor and glorify God. Living it and honor regardless of what was going on. Being faithful in the moment, being faithful to walk your Christian life out, being faithful even when family members aren't encouraging, even when there is situations and economics and even health challenges that you are believing God and pushing through, but you remain faithful. And we see that they had no child. They were both well advanced in years, but God, say but God. And so it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division. Now I want you to notice that he was a priest, and his division, it was their time. It was their time to go to Jerusalem. It was their time to serve the Lord and do certain tasks within the temple. Now only the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies to offer the sacrifice once a year for the people. But there was an outer court. There was an outer court that was just beyond the Holy of Holies. And the way the temple was set up, in that outer court, there was a candle stand, and there was an altar of incense that was burned continually day and night. And we're going to see that in the story. And according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, incense all through the Old Testament and all through the Word of God actually equates to worship and prayer. To worship and prayer. Doesn't that say something to us and echo what the New Testament writers say when the New Testament writer says, pray without ceasing? Pray without ceasing. Because according to the scripture, it goes up before God as a sweet smelling incense as something that goes before him and comes up before him. And I think it's interesting that if you study out the way that the Levitical order, they were never allowed to let that incense stop burning, which should encourage us in the middle of our life walk, in the middle of our season, which doesn't seem like a season of wonder sometimes. Maybe it seems like a season of struggle. Maybe it seems like a season of despair. But God wants us to walk as though that he could step into that situation at any moment. Because guess what? He can. And I believe he will if we will look for him. It is a season of hope. It's a season of expectation that we look for him in this season of wonder. In this season of wonder. We see that the lot fell on him to burn incense before the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was waiting outside at the hour of incense. Verse 11. This I find just so wonderful. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, without getting too technical, you can go back and you can look at some of these diagrams of how the temple was constructed. And you can see that the altar of incense was placed between the curtain of the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was to come. And it was there between. And it says that the angel appeared on the right side. I don't know why Luke records the right side, but we can have a suspicion that all through the scriptures, we find that any time that it's talking about the right side, it's talking about the favor of God. Anytime it's talking about the right side. Remember the disciples, the Jewish mothers came to Jesus and said, which of my sons is going to sit on your right hand? It has to do with favor. And we see that the angel appears on the right side and appears to Zacharias. The favor of God comes and interjects and steps in to Zacharias's faith-filled, but possibly maybe even mundane life with the burdens that they carried. And bam, after 400 silent years, an angel appears. Notice what he says. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Listen, when you have a supernatural experience, it about undoes you. There have been moments where, and I know the Lord Jesus, there have been moments where the presence of God has just been overwhelming in my personal life. All the way back when I first met him as a teenager. There have been those moments. Now, I wasn't terrified, but I was overwhelmed at times. Overwhelmed, maybe even with emotion. And I think about Zacharias. He's going through the motions. He's doing the right thing. Have you ever just done the right thing and bam, something just amazing happens in the middle of you doing that right thing? And here's Zacharias. He's doing the right thing. He's serving the Lord. He's found serving the Lord. He's not at home watching Oprah. I don't even know if Oprah's on anymore. But he is literally serving the Lord. He's doing something. He's putting his hand to some kind of faithfulness to the Lord God. And God brings a reward, and it's a wonder to him. And notice what happens. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." God hears your prayers. In this season of wonder, I want you to be encouraged that as you walk before the Lord, God hears your prayers. You parents that are praying for your children, God hears your prayers. You grandparents that are praying for your grandchildren, God hears your prayers. God is listening to what you are praying. And when your heart is right toward Him, and you are walking in His ways, not just doing your own thing, not just forgetting about the things of God, but walking in the ways of God. We don't earn our salvation, and we know that as believers. We can't earn it. But I want to tell you something. God will never be a debtor to a human being. When you're doing the right thing, He's looking, He's watching, He's recording. Again, we don't earn our salvation. I can't be good enough. But He takes notice when people take notice of His things. I believe Zacharias and Elizabeth, because of what the verse said in verse 6, that they walked righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. Because of that, God took notice. God takes notice of your life. He takes notice of your life. And notice what happens. That the angel says, your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb.
Amen.
And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. He's just being very real, isn't he? Wouldn't you be that way? Listen, God, I don't know how, angel, I don't know how that God's going to do this. I'm well in years. My wife's well in years. I don't know how you're going to do it. Verse 19, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. That would send chills up and down my spine. I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Well, let's back up here for just a second. Some people say, well, wait a second. Wait a second. The angel makes him so he can't speak. You know, one time I was listening to somebody ministering along these lines, and I had that question too. Have you ever had that question? Why in the world couldn't he speak? Why couldn't he speak? Why couldn't he tell everybody about it? I think that his heart gave him away a bit. He was a faithful man. But guess what? He was a person just like you and I. He was given to doubt just like you and I. In fact, he opens his mouth with doubt in verse 18. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man. I believe sometimes in this situation, I believe God was like, I got to keep this guy's mouth shut. He's going to say negative things. I'm just going to have to just put a little muzzle on him, because how many of you know that sometimes we just shouldn't speak? What did you grow up hearing? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. I think we should probably flip that around a little bit. If you can't say something positive, don't say anything. But we as human beings, and especially Americans, we love to comment. And we love to give our opinions on things even when people don't ask. I mean, working in retail environment every day, multitudes of people coming into my store. And I mean, the comments and the questions, why do you do it that way, are always on our lips. I think sometimes God has to keep us quiet. You know, some of us need to go through a talking fast. Maybe we should not talk. I believe that God was instituting a forced fast on Zacharias that he wouldn't talk. Now, obviously, he saw something. He saw the angel. He heard the angel. Notice what ended up happening. The people now are starting to get concerned. Because, listen, the people are in the outer court. There was an inner chamber where the incense was burned, and there was a curtain that kind of separated the people from Zacharias doing his thing. Now, they were so cognizant and so honoring of the presence of God that you couldn't go in there unless you washed correctly, unless you had been living right. I mean, you couldn't go and just, oh, I think I'm just going to go light up the incense over here. No. No, you had to go through ceremonial washing. You were chosen by lot. And they would often, especially when it came to the high priest, they would tie a rope around the priest's waist. And they had jingle bells that were tied to the outfit, the robes of the high priest. So that if he went in there and dropped dead because of sin, they could pull his body out. That's how serious they were about the presence of God. I think in the New Testament church, I thank God for grace. I thank God that, you know, people used to say, oh, if I show up to church, the ceiling will cave in. You ever heard anybody say that? If I showed up, they won't know what to do with me, you know. And it's because people are very conscious of their sin, okay? And I do think that I thank God for the grace of God, that we don't have to worry about the building collapsing when we come in to worship God. We come in here for help. The sick need a hospital. We, as a people, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to live right. Aren't you glad that we don't have that standard that you have to tie a rope around yourself before you go to church? Well, apparently, the people were getting concerned because Zacharias is in there and they're not hearing anything. They're not hearing anything, and he's been in there a long time. All he had to do was go light the candle. Randy, all he had to do was go light the candle. That's it. He had to go light the incense, right? That's all he had to do. That was his one job. And he was taking a long time, obviously, because he's having a conversation with Gabriel. Talk about wonder and amazement. It's a season of wonder. In doing the normal everyday tasks, God could show up at your workplace. He could show up at your house, in your car, and speak to you. During this season of wonder, I want you to set your expectation up that as you do the things that are put in front of you to do, we go to work. We get in the hustle bustle of having to buy gifts and showing up at parties and Christmas events and all of those things. But as you do, keep your heart right before God. As you do, walk through the crowd with an ear toward the Holy Ghost. You will watch God say things to you. He will show up in wonder. He will show up. And you might just invite the person right behind you at the grocery store. Hey, would you like to come to my church this Sunday? And they might just say yes. Because during this season of wonder, God is working on people's hearts. They say, according to the statistics, and statistics can lie, I realize, that Easter and Christmas are some of the most open times people are to talking about the things of God, to talking about eternity, to talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a season of wonder. We should be as Zacharias and walk through with that purpose to do the right thing, regardless of what you're doing, regardless of what's in front of you. Your work might take you a particular place. You might be out and about doing an errand, thinking, oh, I've got to do this. But who is it that is put next to you that you can share the gospel with, that you can share an invitation with? And it said here that the people waited for Zacharias, verse 21, and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. They marveled at how long it was taking. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them, and he remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. I want you to notice something. His faithfulness continued on, even after his life was interrupted. Gabriel now has interjected the word of God to him. He continued on, and he continued the job. He finished the job. He kept on doing it, even though he couldn't speak. He kept on going into the temple, doing what he was supposed to do. He stayed focused on doing the job that was put before him. And I love this. This story is just so rich. And now after those days, verse 24, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Once again, this season of wonder continues on. And it says this, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and now is in the 6th month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible."
Amen.
Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed her. Now, Mary's response to Gabriel was actually less doubtful than Zacharias. Zacharias was, "Hey, how can I do this? I'm an old man. Elizabeth's an old woman. How are we going to have a child?" Mary, she said, "How can this be?" Because she knew she had never been intimate with a man. And she was like, "How can this be?" But when the angel said to her, "With God all things are possible," and told her, "Listen, your cousin, your barren cousin, is having a child as well," I believe that faith was stirred in her heart, and she could say, "Be it unto me according to your word." She had such strength and trust in the word of God that she knew that Gabriel was speaking the very words of God. And what a testimony to us that we would have that kind of reverence, that kind of trust for the word of God, that nothing is impossible during this season of wonder. You might be looking at situations, you might be looking at things that you're going through in your life and say, "I don't know how that could be." But listen, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And his word holds weight and power. "Be it unto me." If we would take the same posture and be prepared personally for wonder, be prepared personally. We see, apparently, Mary found favor with God because she was a virgin, and she apparently walked upright before God, just as Zacharias and Elizabeth did. walking upright before God, doing the right thing. And in that middle of that season of wonder, that wonder steps in. That surprise, that delight, that amazement, that wow factor comes to your life. Listen, Gabriel, I would imagine Gabriel was like, Lord, can we do this? Listen, Gabriel was around during the fall. He saw this whole thing transpire, and now he gets to be a part of the solution. I wonder if Gabriel ever was like, when's the plan going to happen, God? Or did he just stay before God, just waiting? I think Gabriel, because he's an angel, he probably is just waiting. But probably inside he's like, yeehaw, we get to do this. God's rescue plan for mankind has now been initiated. And he's the one who gets to break the 400 years of silence with wonder. He gets to show up in the middle of the temple with Zacharias. He gets to show up to Mary and tell Mary, listen, young girl, you have found favor in God's sight. God wants to step into your world during this season of wonder. He wants to speak to you. He'll speak to you from the Word of God. Now we know we can't put expectation that you're going to have some kind of supernatural revelation from God that way. But I can tell you this, if you'll look for him, he will speak. He will bring you into situations and guide you because we have the Holy Spirit as New Testament believers. He wants to reveal himself in this season of wonder. As you walk before him in faithfulness, the favor of God is upon you. Not only does he want to prepare you personally for this season of wonder, he wants to prepare our church. He wants to prepare a people full of wonder. I'm actually reminded that as we go back in this story and see how the people were also waiting. They were waiting in the temple for Zacharias to go and light the incense. The people were a part of that worship experience. They were in the temple. They were in those outer courts waiting. They were waiting. They were the faithful ones who were still going through, after 400 years, going through the right plan, doing the right thing. They showed up to church. Think about that for a second. They showed up. 400 silent year. Here we go again. All right. It's that time. The season of wonder will cause you to have expectation that God shows up in the everyday. He shows up in the daily functioning of you. He wants to prepare a people for his goodness. When you think about the gospel story and you think about this season of wonder, and as I started, the writer states the most wonderful time of year, that famous song by, I believe it was Andy Williams, I believe that celebrates the most wonderful moment in time when God became a man. 100% God, 100% man. Theologians call it the hypostatic union. He was not a man who became God. He was 100% God, 100% man. He came to redeem us. Oh, church, if we could have that wide-eyed wonder that children have during Christmas. What Christmas surprises are around the corner for you and me? Those moments where God wants to show his love, show his strength, show his favor to each one of us. He is ready to do that for each one. This season of wonder, you say, Pastor, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? I want you to be that person who is personally prepared. In this season, keep doing the right things. Keep worshiping God. Keep your focus on him rather than just the lights and the tinsel and all of the trappings that come with a commercialized Christmas. That first Christmas, we know, was very simple. It was just a babe in a manger. But that babe in a manger was the beginning of that amazing moment in time where God begins the rescue plan for mankind. This season of wonder, look around, enjoy the holiday, enjoy the season, enjoy the sights, the weather, the songs, enjoy those things. But stay focused on what the season is about. This season of wonder is about the most wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is what this season is about. And if you'll keep your heart full of that wonder, God can step into your mundane life at times where you feel like it's mundane. He'll step into the everyday, even the struggle, even the pain, even the hurt that Zacharias and Elizabeth had gone through, her being barren, and God steps in. He steps in and he shows up because God, with God, nothing is impossible. Be prepared for wonder. Be prepared personally. Be prepared as a people and live the promise of wonder. Live out that promise. Now we see in verse 57, it says, now Elizabeth's full time came to her to be delivered. She brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Wonder is actually contagious. When good things happen, it's contagious. People want to hear good news. Now, it's true, bad news will travel a lot quicker than good news in our world. But you know what? People are longing for good news. They're longing for the goodness of God in the land of the living. And verse 59 says, and it was so on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And so they all marveled. They wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke. What did he do? Speak. He started praising God. He started praising God because God is faithful. In this season of wonder, church, I want you to look for wonder every corner that you turn. Look for wonder in your workplace. Look for wonder that you can spread to others. Look for the love of God that you can show forth his goodness. Look for that still small voice in the busy mall parking lot when somebody just stole your parking space. Has it happened to you? Yeah, it has happened to me. You put your blinker on. You're letting people know you're going to take that spot. And zoom, somebody comes and takes it. And that's when you have to decide to be a Christian. Right? So that you don't lose your cool. Right? Well, see, this is the time that you stay focused, stay anchored. Stay anchored in this season of wonder and say, okay, God, you must have something better. You've got something better for me. Shake it off. Move forward. If they ran out of the item, if they can't get the item for another 6 months, oh, well, there must be something better for me. There must be something better I got to get. There must be something better you want me to do or somebody else you want me to encourage. When that exasperated clerk looks at you like, I hope you're not going to yell at me, give them a kind word. Say something about the wonder of God. Say something that refocuses and redirects them. I guarantee you that this season of wonder will be a different way to walk through the Christmas season. I thought it was great that Zacharias, you know, he's the father. And they're questioning whether the mother has got this right. Are you sure? There's nobody among your relatives named John. Are you sure about this? She knew what her husband told her. She knew what her husband probably had to write and scribble out to her. His name's going to be John. She already knew that. So when they asked her, what's the boy's name going to be called? She said, John. She was confident. She was confident. The people around weren't. But the season of wonder kicks in. They give him a little piece of paper, a tablet. He writes, his name will be John. That's a man who cooperated with God. And immediately another wonder happens. His mouth is opened and he begins to praise God. He begins to praise God. We see that Mary, what is her first reaction? Be it unto me according to your word. And then she begins to praise God. She begins to sing. She begins to praise God. Our reaction to the wonder of God this Christmas season should always point us back to that moment of incense that is always burning. Prayers and worship go back to God. Incense was burned continually, symbolizing the prayers and the worship of God's people that never stops. So when God comes through for you this season of wonder, begin to worship God. Lift your hands in this place, and right now let's do that. Father, we lift our hands in this place. In advance, God, with expectation of this season of wonder, that this season of wonder is a season that will be marked by you stepping in to the mundane, the everyday, the ordinary. And we're watching you perform miracles, bring the lost home, bring the backslider home, bring those that have gone away home in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for working in your people in this season of wonder, working in us and us cooperating with you, Father, that we would continue to do the right thing, knowing that you could step in at any moment and bring that miracle and bring that change and bring that healing and bring that provision and bring that answer and bring that situation coming around in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so. If you're watching online or you're here in person, I want to give you an opportunity to come to know Christ. I do that even when I think everybody is saved, because I don't know who's watching. I don't know everybody's heart. But I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. The way we do it is this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that we believe in our heart that the Lord Jesus is who he said he is, that he came to die for our sins. We confess him with our mouth. We receive that forgiveness and confess him with our mouth. If that's you, I want you to lift up your hand. If you're watching at home or online, maybe this has already happened. It's not live at all, but maybe you're watching this and it's been recorded. Right now, wherever you are, just pray this simple prayer out loud with me. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead. I receive his forgiveness, and I call him my Lord and my Savior today in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with us, or you prayed it as an act of rededication for your life, I want you to let us know so we can send you something. We can help you, encourage you in your walk with God. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet right now as we have our sending out verse. If you're joining us at home, where Psalm 121, 7 and 8 is what we're going to just speak and pray over ourselves and over this congregation. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8.